Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com. Save big money at
Menards. Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. If you're Android, we recommend Spotify or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Apple, you can try Apple Podcasts. Also, check out Off the Floor. That's our new Discord server, $2.99 per month. That's where you can escape Twitter and everything else that goes on there. Just come chat with us all day long and with others, the Five Reasons Sports Network, and with fellow Heat fans. $2.99 per month. Link is right here in the description, as well as pinned to the top of the Five Reasons Twitter page. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network, including our new partner. That's Autograph. That's the app where your fandom lives. The app gives diehard fans like you access to all the best sports content, fan challenges, and exclusive rewards, like discounted tickets to the NBA playoffs, exclusive merchandise, and more. You can unlock rewards like these just for doing the things you already do as a fan, like listening to Five on the Floor, following news on the Heat and the other local teams, sharing your favorite content, and more. So download the free Autograph app that's in the App Store or the Google Play Store today, and use the referral code FIVE, F-I-V-E. Again, that's F-I-V-E for the referral code, and we'll see you at the game. That's Autograph. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick at Five Reasons Sports. We got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. We've got Brady Hawk. You can follow him at Brady Hawk 305. Crazy sports day. You got the Dolphins draft, the Panthers in the playoffs, all kinds of things going on. Of course, the NBA playoffs continuing, and we are pivoting back on Five on the Floor to the Heat. The Miami Heat come home, 1-1 series. I'll actually be at the practice on Friday, try to get player comments on what's going on here. It does seem like they're in the Celtics' heads a little bit. Kristaps Porzingis being one of those who seems confused by the concept that another coach would actually throw out multiple looks during the same game. I don't know why Porzingis has not seen that before. But again, it does seem like Celtics fans and their players right now are a little bit discombobulated by what the Heat did to them in game two without Jimmy Butler and without Terry Rozier. Now, as of now, we don't know if Terry Rozier is going to play in game three. I would not expect it. And I would not expect the Heat to give much of an update at Friday's practice. But again, if they do or we find anything else out, we will give that to you. Of course, no Jimmy Butler for the bulk of this series. But the Heat do have an Olympian who's playing in the series and a multi-time All-Star. And I will just say this. I'm not immune from criticism here, hearing it, seeing it, reading it. And there were some who are always upset that we don't praise this guy enough. Because I've talked about this, there are player stands on social media. You have to pick one. You can't pick two. You got to pick one. It's either Bam or it's Tyler or it's Jimmy or it's somebody else down the line for the Heat. But I will acknowledge, okay, as I went back through the podcast last night, and you should check it out. We did a pretty thorough post-game show, I thought, about 40 minutes on the YouTube channel, that I probably didn't give Bam enough credit. I think we got to him in like minute 17 or 22 or something like that. It actually took Brady. And again, we have Brady Hawk. You can follow him at Brady Hawk 305. We got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. It actually, I think, took Brady to do a play of the day related to Bam specifically on, again, the jumpers that he was making late in the game to put the game away. And so as I went back through it, I kind of realized that I think that sometimes – even as much as we have a podcast where one of the hosts labeled Bam no ceiling, and even as much as I've repeatedly said you don't basically trade Bam for anybody, that sometimes I think maybe I take him a little bit for granted. I will ask my two co-hosts here before we go forward, because there are a lot of stats that are very, very positive about Bam in this series so far. Alex, do you think that's the case? Just as an objective observer here.
No, I think it's actually perplexing that that's even a complaint, because look, you could say that about any of these guys. Like, we've heard complaints all over the place from people saying that, you know, we're too easy on Tyler, or that we're too hard on Tyler. And I thought originally the thing was that we were too easy on Bam. I thought that was the narrative, because we always talk about.
That's what I thought.
Me too. Like, because we never asked like too much of Bam. We all like appreciate the hell out of him and what he does. So no, that was definitely perplexing to me, because we are all like, you know, Bam is untouchable guys.
Okay, so Brady, I'll ask you. Have we at times over... I mean, I think I did last night. I think that's fair. I'll take criticism for that. I think I was honestly...
There was a lot happening last night.
Well, that's the thing. As I was setting up the podcast, and look, I don't do... I mean, we're going live when a game ends, okay? I mean, I'm not making excuses here, but we go in. I am not a preparation person. I mean, my co-hosts here know that.
No. We had enough. No excuses.
No excuses. No, but you know that. I'm not sitting here charting it. I don't send you guys show notes or anything like that. Like, literally, we have a text string separately from our Discords. And like, I was, okay, what are we talking about? Okay, I don't even tell you guys what I'm thinking about for the play of the day, and sometimes even the game of the night, until we're doing it. So it's not like this is like carefully plotted. We're trying to go live. Okay. But we have some segments that we have to get to, so I try to make sure if there are key players in the game that we at least introduce the key guys in those segments, okay? But I do think that I did a disservice to Bam waiting until, what, the 17th minute, 21st minute to get into him. We went into, you know, we got into the Celtics, obviously, and the majesty of this victory, which a lot of it, you know, we talked about Spoelstra, and then Tyler. You know, Tyler was the one that basically, you know, we really got into there because, you know, again, we weren't expecting that game from him. And I guess maybe it comes back to this, Brady. Maybe I'm just expecting Bam to be excellent defensively and to make some mid-range shots and probably not to score 35, because we don't put that on him anymore. But are we taking him for granted? Did I take him for granted?
I was just going to say, big picture, I think the problem is everybody takes him for granted. I just think that's the point that everybody's at in his NBA career, that, I mean, look, the guy has probably been the best defender in the league for the last couple of years. And I look around, and every year he never gets his due. He's never in the top three defensive player of the year, which finally he gets his due this year, and is able to kind of be in the running this time around. But, you know, first team all defense, the fact that he's never in that running, at least this year, it's not positional. So he'll be on first team all defense. But the point is that he's not getting his due from most people just because it's not pretty. That's why the Miami Heat don't get their due, because they don't play pretty basketball. It's in the mud defensively, and he's such a chessboard piece defensively in a game like that. That's probably why I brought him up yesterday. And it feels like he's the key to – we talk about Eric Spoelstra being able to make adjustments and doing that stuff. But he's not – Eric Spoelstra can't make those adjustments if he doesn't have Bam. He can't do any of the stuff that he's pulling defensively if he doesn't have that anchor. So I think just from a pure perspective of everybody, I think everybody takes that stuff for granted. And here's the other thing. I think everybody has a different perspective of what he is offensively. Like, the guy is a very great offensive player. He has he's shooting 13 of 20 on paint jumpers, like non-rim attempts, like paint jumpers, like getting to his spot, 13 of 20 in this series. Like, he is a natural scorer, which who would have thought we'd be saying that back then? So that's the part that's wild. Like, how do we take that for granted from how this started, when we were talking about a rim running big going down the court, coming back and being a lob threat? And now he's just a unstoppable jump shooter. So 100%. I just think it's hit a certain point now where it's like, okay, that guy's going to give you 20. He's going to give you, you know, probably he's going to play the best defense on the court. He's going to be the anchor to everything Spoelstra runs. And it's like, we don't expect anything else. It's just what you get, I feel like, on a regular basis. So 100%, everybody's going to take that guy for granted.
I think we're really separated into two different things. I don't know defensively that any of us have ever taken him for granted. I really don't. I mean, I've said he should have been defensive player of the year the last 3 years.
National
so I don't
media
know how
does.
much Well, they do for sure. I don't know how much more affirmative we need to be on that. Like, I mean, it is what it is. They can't do. I mean, I'll get to the tweet later because there was a great tweet in here related to the Heat and the difference between Jimmy and Bam for them. So I'll get to it. But I want to get to a couple other things here. Just statistically, here's some of the tweets that popped out over the past 24 hours. This one came from StatMuse. Bam, 21. 10 and 10 rebounds on 9 and 13 shooting. Only LeBron has more 2010 playoff games for the Heat. This one from our guy Naveen, who's with us in the network. Bam Adebayo's 39 playoff wins since 2020 are tied with PJ Tucker for the most in the NBA during that span. Lebatard's show, Amin, came out and said that MF'er right there is the best defensive player in the league, and it's not close. That's the best defensive player in the NBA, bar none. Of course, Amin worked for the Phoenix Suns before he got into the media. Again, the list of 2010 playoff games in Heat history: LeBron 25, Bam 21, Dwayne 10, Zoe and Shaq and Bosh and Jimmy 8 each. Okay. Then you keep going on this further. Bam in playoff games against Boston without Jimmy Butler, averaging 25. This is from Cheap Season on Twitter. 25.3 points, 8.6 rebounds, 3.6 assists. All right. And then this one too. This is another from Naveen. Bam has scored 24 points on 9 of 16 field goals, 6 of 8 from the made 6 free throws when guarded by Porzingis through 2 games in the postseason. I mean, all of these stats are very positive towards him. But Alex, I'll read this one because this is the tweet that really jumped out to me today. This is from Heat Flow 3. Bam raises our floor. His defense, screen setting, and playmaking is the team's foundation. Jimmy raises our ceiling. When he plays like he did in the bubble finals, the entire 2022 run and last year pre-ankle injury were true contenders. Is that fair? Does that sound right?
I absolutely think that's fair. I think that's pretty perfect, actually, because it goes into what you guys were talking about there and how he gets taken for granted. And yeah, I think fans probably take it for granted. I think we take it for granted in a way where, like, we all appreciate it, but it's like it's a given, right? It's like, for the way that they would talk about, and this is not the same, you know, the same level, so don't get it twisted. But when they would talk about LeBron, it's like you expect such a high, like the bar is so high that it gets taken for granted, like the night to night what he does. And I think that's what's happened with Bam, is that like what he does for you game after game, he's been doing it for years. So it's not new, right? And it's almost like you expect it from him. And everybody is always like worried about him being a consistent, you know, scorer and things of that nature, because it's like you already know the defense is coming. So even for the people who understand and appreciate how good he is, it's like, you know, it doesn't wow you too much, because it's like it's there already. He's been that guy for years now. And so like all this time, he solidified himself, you know, especially with this season, the way that they've switched the schemes around, where they were more, you know, in drop as a base as opposed to the switching schemes they've had in the past, even though he did start his career with the Heat playing drop. I do think he's shown you everything. He's shown you he can be elite in every coverage. He's shown you he can be elite on damn near, and not even damn near, every player. Because I think before we would say like, oh, Jokic is the one guy. He's done a good job on Jokic the past few times. You know, he's you're not going to shut a guy like that down. But I think
than anybody else has, for sure. Actually.
And you can put him anywhere. You can put him anywhere and on any spot on the floor, in any scheme, on any player. You cannot say that about anybody else in the league. I mean, there's some great defenders, right? I'm not trying to like crap on anybody else, but what Bam does is truly one of one, man.
When we come back, we'll get into what he has to do in the rest of this series. But I wanted to address all of that stuff first because, you know, again, we're not immune from it, or I'm not immune from it. And I think sometimes saying that somebody can't be a lead offensive guy on a contender is not the same as not appreciating him. And I'm at the point here with Bam where I do think there have been incremental improvements in his offensive game. We've talked about the three ball, some other things. This year, there was more of a diet of mid-range shots than there has been prior. And we've talked about that, about being less predictable and all of that. And then, yes, yesterday, instead of spinning right, he makes the shot shot going left. And I was like, no, when he took it. But again, I want him to experiment more because he has to be more diversified. Right. Exactly. And look, we praised Tyler for developing some counters yesterday. So the same applies to Bam, and the same applies to Jaquez, who's had to develop counters now to what teams are scouting on him. Before we move on, though, I do want to mention a great sponsor, the Five Reasons Sports Network. We want to mention that if you go to shoptubculture.com, shoptubculture.com, with our great friends, the Simons, who are also big Miami Heat fans, they have restocked all of their bath bombs there, okay, including some that were inspired by a certain pop star whose name we're not going to mention, but because we can't for copyright reasons, but you should go check it out at shoptubculture.com. Again, shoptubculture.com. Mother's Day is coming up. You got a couple of weeks. This is the perfect time to get your orders in. So just check it out. Looking for a last-minute gift, this is it, okay? Shoptubculture.com. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E. And you will get 10% off your order of $20 or more. So support local stores. Don't go to the mall. Go online. Support our friends. And again, get great products, well-made, with care. And again, they've got a full line there of everything you could possibly want for the bathroom. All right, let's go forward here now. So it sounds Porzingis is started talking about, again, all the different looks that that the Heat threw at them. And so much of this does start with Bam. Defensively and being able to switch between different coverages. So Brady, where are you at here in terms of what you think Miami might try to do defensively again, spearheaded by Bam? We saw, you know, obviously guarding Tatum. You know, we talked about, you know, what they did in the play-in game where they put him on DeRozan. How do you think he'll be deployed here in game three?
Especially when you're undermanned like this. I mean, every game against a team like this is like its own series. It feels like it's a whole different game plan. It's a whole different style because it's going to be a whole different pace of game and in style of game. So, I mean, number one, they're going to still do what they did last game because that's the style you have to play against this team. As we talked about, the adjustment was to force Tatum and Brown in isolation, bog the game down, play one-on-one, et cetera. I think the adjustment will be, even though Porzingis did not have a good game against that exact defense, and I know you just said he was talking about it, they're going to send doubles at Porzingis and Porzingis only. They're going to send stunts and everything along those lines at Porzingis only because, look, he missed shots and he had good looks. Like, those are very well shots he can make. And if, as you see in that game, like, if you cut him out of the offense, if you make him uncomfortable, you have Boston where you want them. Like, then it really turns into the style of Tatum and Brown that I think Miami's going to prioritize eliminating Porzingis offensively as much as possible. And I don't really think that means Bam on him. I think that means Bam covering everybody else up, which is another one of those things where we take that for granted, like being able to cover the entire weak side up or just being able to make a rotation. Look, before I get back to what I was going to say, there was a play in that last game where Miami was just switching all over the place and Bam was on the weak side block. Like, he was guarding Porzingis on the weak side block. Ball swings to the corner on the opposite side of the court. He full out runs, sprints to get to that rotation and alters Brown's shot, and it ends up like in a very bad miss. But that's the stuff he can do. Like, that's why you want him covering everything up in that way. But I think 100% Miami's main adjustment is going to be making Porzingis' life really uncomfortable, trying to limit him in the lane. If he has Tyler Herro or one of those guys on him, they're not going to limit it to the extent that they did in game two because they don't want to get him going. You cannot let that guy get in the flow because that's going to be problematic. And the other thing I'll quickly say in terms of adjustments, because we're talking about Bam, I think the big offensive adjustment for Miami will be using him almost semi like that game five against Milwaukee last year, but using him more as a handler and using him more as an initiator and everything in terms of the top of the offense. Just because, look, Boston's now scheming. As much as they sit there and say that, we wanted those guys taking shots and they just made them, that's not what they're going to be doing in game three. They are not going to be betting on that when this team's playing at home. They're going to jump the three-point line. They're going to push this team off that area. So when they start jumping off and pushing those wings, Miami has to work the baseline. They have to work the corners. And what Miami's going to do is put Jaime Jaquez and Caleb Martin in those corners and dunker spots. They're going to try to – it's problematic because Jaime's had the ball in his hands so much, but they have to get him off the ball. They have to utilize him there. So I think that an easy way of doing that and not changing up what Tyler has, you know, in a really good flow right now with trying to pick his spots, they're going to use Bam as an initiator, as a playmaker, and everything along those lines. So I think it'll be interesting because as much as we say you're taking for granted, it feels like he kind of, to me, is going to be the chess piece in game three to kind of push things on both ends.
Yeah, Alex, let's go to the offensive end here as we close in particular. Would you put the ball – one of the adjustments that Spoelstra has made in previous playoff series is putting the ball more in Bam's hands at the top. We've talked about that and kind of running some inverted pick and roll and that sort of stuff with Bam making those kind of looks. We know that Duncan's not himself right now, so there's not as much DHO as maybe we've seen in the past. But what would you do with Bam offensively now?
Well, I think I agree with Brady. I think that's one of those like kind of layers in their offense that they've saved for the playoffs before and for like specific times and matchups. And, you know, when you're out this much shot creation, you got to get creative. And I think it's one of those things we've seen in the past. We've seen Bam, you know, Bam is very much an above average passer, not just for a big, just in general, and is, you know, at his finest as a passer when he's stationary and not trying to make a lot of, you know, most of his passes, I think, on the move in traffic. And so I think that benefits that style of him just trying to create from up top. The Heat are obviously a high volume cut team. And I think, you know, you can get that part of your game going. I think it makes a lot of sense, especially the way that they've been running, you know, Tyler through these off ball, you know, actions, whether it's somebody screening for him or him screening for other people. And then he flares out. Like, I think all that type of stuff fits Bam creating from the top and him just kind of waiting to see how an action develops and who gets open. You know, you don't use it the whole game, but using it throughout, I think, is something that makes a lot of sense. And then also the other thing I was thinking about is how the Celtics adjust to the way that Tyler got going and the way that he kept finding openings off of screens, but not off of necessarily him going down the middle of the floor with a pick and roll. Like he was kind of, you know, they were running screens for him and him screening for others, like in different sides of the court. And I think that unpredictability, you know, benefited the Heat. And I think instead of some of that drop, we're probably going to see them play at the level a little bit more. I think we'll probably see them. I'm guessing, I'm not sure if this is going to be the case, but I think they're probably going to try to incorporate more switches on the Tyler Bam actions. And I think just kind of bet that Tyler is not going to be able to get those openings and get in rhythm with the pull-up looks, because Tyler's never been like a great switch beater. So I think it makes a lot of sense for them to try something like that. And if you do that, that's kind of inviting Bam to get into his game, right? Whether it's to face up or to back down, whatever he wants to do, it's probably going to be more Bam one-on-one as a result if they do switch those actions. So I think it's going to be one of those things where, you know, it can go either way, right? Shout out to Deuces Podcast, our biggest competition.
They are.
that Bam one-on-one, you know, he's been amazing at it, and he's got counters, but they might almost like invite him to do more of it, where it's like, okay, how far are you willing to go with this, right? Mm-hmm. and basically betting that he won't drop 35 on you or something like that, where I think it's risky, but I think if I were them, you know, getting, if you shut Tyler's looks like that off, I think it makes a lot of sense. So I think it's going to be a lot of, you know, even more responsibility on Bam going forward.
I think that we're at the point with Bam where whatever he's most comfortable doing is what he should do. You know, because I've talked about the predictability, you know, of, you know, kind of getting to that dotted line and the jumper and all that sort of stuff. And that all came from, and Spoelstra said this to me, you know, very directly, a couple months ago. He's like, this all came from that series against Brook Lopez. They stated very clearly kind of what they wanted Bam to develop. But he's told me, and I'll say this flat out to close, and I don't know how I can praise Bam any more than this. Spoelstra told me that in their program, there's been two guys who've improved more than any others that they've ever had year to year. Bam Adebayo and Duncan Robinson. Those are the two names he said. This is the coach since 2008. Okay. And he says those two players have improved the most. So I think when he's saying that, and someone like Greg, you know, on our podcast says no ceiling, I think what we have to look at is, okay, where are the ways that he's going to incrementally improve going forward? We've talked about post game. We've talked about the 3-point shot, which he started to unveil a little bit. But whatever it is, whatever he's most comfortable with, I think the one thing that would stamp him in this series beyond just what he's doing defensively, which finally the national media is starting to pay some attention to, is, does he have that 35-point game in him? Does he have it? Because at some point, if they're going to win this series, okay, not just be competitive, they're probably going to need that one night. They're going to need him to get into the 30s one night. There's got to be a night where he's just locked in that way, consistently aggressive. And here's the other part of it. They're getting him the ball also, because we've talked about that a lot. Okay, when he wasn't getting the shots, whose fault was it? Was it his? Was it Spoelstra? Was it his teammates? I think at this stage, we've seen that if they look for Bam consistently and keep him engaged, he will produce. So that's, I think, where I'm at with it right now. We'll see where that goes for game three. I want to thank Alex. I want to thank Brady. Again, check out all the other content on the YouTube channel. We've got Panthers content, Dolphins content, Messi content, and, of course, all of our content here. I also did an episode with Alex Dono today, so check that out. The five guys, we go every Tuesday, Thursday, kind of take a big picture view sports. We do want to mention, as always, our Discord, Off the Floor. Check it out, $2.99 per month. We're looking at the draft there, too. So now the NFL draft is going to be over this week. We're going to pivot to the NBA draft. So check that out. And again, shoptubculture.com. Use the code 5, autograph. Download the app. Use the code 5. Very easy. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.